week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we talk about games that are never complete, which start out one way and see big updates that change them fundamentally. I talk about what it was like to get back into No Man's Sky from nearly 4 years away, and Vink shares his newfound love of chess and 50 other worldwide classics with Clubhouse games for Nintendo Switch. Vink.
Hello.
I see you're inside Choo Choo Rocket.
I am. I'm inside Choo Choo Rocket. For those who are listening on the audio podcast, there is a giant chroma keyed background of Choo Choo Rocket. Yes.
It is beautiful.
It is glorious.
It reminds me of a game I picked up.
Was
lately.
It I haven't Choo Choo Rocket?
Rocket in a while. Okay. No, but it involves spaceships.
All right. Is it the Absolute Space Shuttle Simulator?
That sounds amazing.
It is so good. It is so good. It was made by Gary Kitchen. No, not Gary Kitchen. Who did it? A Boy and His Blob. Not Gary Kitchen.
Pitfall.
Pitfall guy. Pitfall Guy. It was done by Pitfall Guy.
Welcome to the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast.
We don't know any
things about history.
We do not know about video games here, so please teach us.
Apparently, if we don't look up things on Wikipedia and just repeat the article word for word, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
David
Crane.
Ago,
David Crane. Okay.
Nice.
Sorry.
All right.
I get him confused with Gary Kitchen because they both worked for the early Activision.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I like how the first thing I look up is the way forward reimagining of a 1989 video game, and I'm like, oh, dang it.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So I
what's your game
recorded
with spaceships?
Speaking of spaceship games, this game came up because I was recording a clip, a very brief clip, for a video that I'm working on.
Okay.
But I've been thinking about playing it ever since and didn't really have an excuse until a friend of mine was like, you know, this game's super cool now. And I'm like, really? That game is No Man's Sky.
Ooh, or as it was referred to upon launch, One Man's Lie.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, we've talked about this before, but the reason it was because it failed to live up to the expectations and hype promised by the game. Which would
that
maybe
could probably be a whole topic, and I would hate to go into it because I don't really feel that way about it personally, and I think I said as much when we discussed it.
And actually people aren't really saying that anymore, which is kind of interesting.
That is nice, but I've been to Reddit where it comes up every once in a while.
Well,
so
don't go to Reddit. I mean, that's pretty much a rule of thumb for anything. So you've been playing it, and
it's very different. Like, it's so different that, well, let me put it this way. They've changed some things.
Yeah.
That I don't really remember how they used to work, but they work, I think, similarly enough that it's not too different. But you can definitely tell they've made a lot of what would have been considered game-breaking changes of the mechanics they set out initially, and there's still like these vestigial remnants of those mechanics hanging about here and there, and you can play the game that way still if you don't really want to partake in the new content.
Sure.
But why would you when a lot of what they've done is partly in response to player criticism / suggestion and other just things that they thought, well, this would be cool to do. And it's formed, from what I can tell, over the last several years, this really interesting feedback cycle where it builds a game in a way that a lot of games aren't. I don't want to call it a collaborative effort, but there's such a shift from what it used to be that it's really not the same game anymore.
Huh. In a good way?
That's a great question, and I think a fantastic topic for this episode.
Oh, good, because we didn't have a topic. Let's do that then.
All right, let's do this topic.
All right.
You, yes you, can support the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and video series. Leave us a rating on iTunes and a comment about why you love the show. If you act now, you can also join Dojo Disciples, Mario the M-Hat Hero, Blake Fuller, Earl Grey III, Chris Berkland, Brady Cashin, Paul Spicknall, Daniel Hathcock, and Lena to get a first look at all the great new videos we have lined up for our new fall season. Head over to patreon.com/FamicomDojo to become a member today and check out our first preview. Even a dollar is better than an ad.
Are we doing it now?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it now. Is there some other game you can think of that is like this?
Well, I'm not sure if we've decided what like this means, whether it's positive or negative, but there are definitely games that have changed a lot over the years, for better or for worse. Do you want me to bring up a couple right now, or you want to talk about No Man's Sky first?
All right, yeah, I'll talk about No Man's Sky more specifically, and then maybe that'll help focus another counterexample here. Yeah. When this game started, there wasn't, I don't want to say there wasn't a lot to it.
Yeah.
It's just that it wasn't clear what the objectives were, except for get to the center of the galaxy. That was really the only thing you had to do.
Yeah.
There weren't missions per se. There was no way to interact with other people playing the game.
No. Claimed that there would be. You see, that was one of the issues,
yes,
actually.
Which has eventually happened.
Mm, yeah.
To the point, like, my kids are interested in playing this game now because it's spaceships.
Really?
Why wouldn't you want to?
Course.
Yeah.
Of course, it's
But the oldest are, like, 8 and 6, so it's not really for them.
Yeah, isn't it fairly complex to play?
It is, but I'm usually there with them to help.
Oh, I suppose.
So they're really interested, though, because the thing they're most intrigued by is this whole base building aspect, which didn't exist when I started playing this game. So you basically, like, you wake up, you have a starship, you start exploring the galaxy, you collect elements and gather herbs.
I know you like gathering herbs games.
I like it. You know, I forgot to mention last episode that it was gathering a lot of herbs with Animal Crossing as well. And in a lot of ways now, No Man's Sky is pretty much just Animal Crossing in space at this point.
Yeah.
Except you have more than one island, you have, like, a galaxy to explore.
Yes, but can you craft a small bookshelf and paint it pink?
Sort of. You can actually craft quite a bit of things.
Really?
In this game. Oh, yes. You have the raw materials for it, and you have recipes, and you make a lot of stuff on the fly.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've installed a refinery into my backpack that lets me, like, turn elements into other more complicated elements. I guess that makes it a fusion reactor by definition.
That is a very nice state. I've installed a refinery in my backpack.
That's so good.
That's a good phrase.
But originally, you didn't have things like that. Like, you just gathered stuff. That's just the way it was. And then you had crafting. But the goal seemed to be get better enhancements for your ship so you can, like, do your hyperspace jumps farther and get to the center of the galaxy faster. And then once you got there, people were getting to the center of the galaxy and not liking what they found as
a whole lot of nothing,
quote unquote, to the game. Yeah. So I wasn't really in a hurry. In fact, I went through my picture roll to do some comparisons from before I started playing the game again. I got to say, as for whether the changes are good or bad, it seems like the way they generated the planets.
Yeah.
Seemed to have more variety.
Okay.
Or it could have just been the region of the galaxy I was in, because I guess there's lots of factors that go into how they do this.
Yeah.
But where I've been lately has been kind of samey. and it's not been as grandiose of an experience.
Okay.
In that regard, in the way I originally played it, as it had been. On the other hand, there was no way to kind of backtrack and like go back to where you started or anywhere that was really interesting. You had to like keep moving on to reach the objective, which is to get to the center of the galaxy. So it's like, all right, well, that was cool. I took some pictures and I'm off again. Now there's like teleporters on every space station. Every system almost has a space station. You can build them into your bases. There's this thing called the anomaly that you can summon at any point, which, you know, you can also use it to teleport. And there's like a way to create habitation throughout this experience. And you can play with other players now, invite people to your base and stuff like that. But at the time, and that's when I finished playing it, and stopped for reasons I don't remember exactly. bases had just been introduced, and they weren't really all that. Now they've been widely expanded upon, and I have a whole bunch of them now for the reason that I want to get back to somewhere that I thought was interesting. But it allows for quick travel across the galaxy without having to use your spaceship, which they didn't allow at first. You could like go through a portal, and then you can go back. But you had to go back through, like you didn't have your ship with you. You could just like, so I guess they've made a lot of changes like that to accommodate player feedback. And they thought, this is our mechanic, this is how we're going to do it. And then it just didn't pan out that way, and they responded by changing the mechanics. So it's good in that way, and that people playing this game are able to have some kind of influence on it, and they're figuring out what works and what doesn't, despite what their initial thoughts were. But it creates this weird situation where it's the same game, right? Like, I bought this 4 years ago, and I installed a massive update like a few weeks ago with this Desolation update. But like, it's not like Destiny 2 kind of thing where it's like you buy the second Destiny game. It's the same game, but it's not the same game at all anymore. And that's such a unique thing where there's just no way to play the original game again, because it's all like there's servers involved and there's
you know what I would say, that's not as unique as you think. I would definitely say that. I mean, let's spin back around to that one maybe. Finish if you've got more on No Man's Sky.
Sure. So the way I play this game is very different now. I still have an objective, and there are story reasons to complete it now. There are actually lots of missions, which I'm used to from other open world games. Very, very similar to, you know, what they implemented for Breath of the Wild, which, you know, has some crafting elements also, and is not the first to the party by any means.
No.
So I have a freighter now, which I can park lots of starships in and take the one out I want for a spin and for any particular occasion. I kind of feel like Jay Leno. And you can summon that freighter wherever you want. There's a way to upgrade it to like be able to travel to different star systems and like jump farther, but there's no point in doing it. First of all, it's really hard to do to get the technology pieces to make that happen. Secondly, there's no point. You take your starship, which you've outfitted to do this, you jump there, you summon your freighter, and it'll travel from wherever it was to wherever you are in the blink of an eye. It's like there's just no point in playing it a certain way, especially because they make that certain way hard.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like they're still accommodating the old mechanics, but they don't have to, but they are. Okay. I don't know how I feel about that, so it's kind of in the middle. But I'm still having fun with it. My kids love it. I figured out a way to see each other's bases now, which involves making sure everyone has a PSN account. So they have child PSN accounts now. And
okay. I mean, when I finally get a PS5, I want to give that game a spin, because a lot of games that get a lot of negative feedback turn out to be my favorite games. So, you know.
Sure. It'll be a very interesting and different experience for you, because I was relaying how different it was with the friend who got me back into it. And I don't know how she felt about my paragraphs long musings, but it was a very, very interesting reawakening into this universe for me. No puns intended.
That's very interesting. All right. Should we compare it to some other things then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I think we already alluded to it earlier, but like, actually, hold on. Before I forget my train of thought, you were mentioning how you thought it was very unique that a game has been, you know, in a way you can't play the original one anymore. And actually, this has been going on for a very, very long time. Not so much in consoles, but in the mobile space.
Mm.
Like, there are tons of games, not just free-to-play games, although free-to-play games are pretty much all like this, that have changed so dramatically from the original experiences. Have you tried to play Angry Birds lately?
Oh, no, my kids have, and I'm like, what is
exactly
this?
It used to be a game you bought for 99 cents and included the full game. And, of course, they added on stuff, and that stuff was usually free. But after a while, they started adding free-to-play elements, online ads, things like that. I don't think the game costs any money these days, but I can't go back to the complete game for 99 cents no matter what I want to do.
Right.
My mother keeps an iPad, her old iPad, because it has a version of Bejeweled that was the full game. She paid $3. Wow. She played $3 for it, and it was Bejeweled. It was the whole thing. But now all they have is Bejeweled Blitz or whatever. All these games with tons of microtransactions, ads, stuff like that. They're free games, but all my mom wants to do is match crystals and make them disappear. That's it. So she's keeping the old iPad around just so she can play that. It's the only game she plays at all. And like, she couldn't transfer it to the new iPad because they've actually locked it out. You cannot, you know, not only did it, like, the reason the game exists is because the iPad's too old to upgrade it to the new, better version. Wow, I was trying to make air quotes and one of my hands disappeared.
Is this one of the situations where it doesn't run on the 64-bit operating system, or is that
I mean, yes, but it was already obsoleted before even that.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like years ago, it stopped functioning. You know, so even later 32-bit devices, it's unplayable.
Because man, there are some games that I wish I could go back and play.
Like,
you know, obviously, Bouncing Girl being the chief among them. the original Peggle, is no longer available, as far as I know.
Nope. It's the same. Yep. Peggle's made by the same people who made PopCap games. Let's bring up another. You know, I'm going to bring up PopCap later, actually, about a game that's perhaps gone, you know, down. I could bring it up right now. Plants vs. Zombies.
Yep.
Plants vs. Zombies is another game that's removed content over the years. Now, some of it I can see why they did. They used to have
Michael Jackson
zombie. Yeah. Yep. And that, you know, but the thing is, other things they've taken and they've remade a lot of the core gameplay experience. So that game's still available, but the version people bought and the version that's available now, which you don't have to buy, is very different. There's lots of iOS games that I paid full price for back in the day, like $10. Remember when mobile games could be $10? Crazy. But the manufacturers decided that they would rather go to the free-to-play model. So they switched it to free-to-play, and they usually do something like, for all of our loyal customers who paid full price for the game, here's $10 worth of in-game currency.
Oh, that's dirty.
Which causes me, and like, release an, you know, take the app off the store, that's fine, and release your free-to-play one, but let the people who paid for it at least continue to play the original experience?
No. Right.
And that is dirty. I think that is just dirty. And that's why I don't buy mobile games anymore, or even play them. I don't. I don't do mobile anymore. You know how I go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll have my moments where I'm like, yeah, mobile games aren't so bad. And there was a time that they weren't so bad. But, like, losing games through the upgrade cycle, I lost most of my library when they switched to 64-bit because a lot of the games that I liked were full-priced games, not games as a service. I'm not a fan of games as a service in general. So, but I had a lot of games that I had bought. Chaos Rings that was done by Square Enix, just a bunch of retro remakes, things like that. They just all broke when I got my new iPhone. So I don't feel any need to reinvest. I just cut the cord. I think I have Pokemon Go on my phone and I haven't played it in like 9 months.
Oh no, Pokemon Go. Oh, that's another good example.
There's a game that's really different. But I think that's a positive one. Pokemon Go is more fun today than when it came out, you know.
I agree 100% because I didn't play it for like, I want to say a year or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's been covered on the podcast before after it came out until they really improved the experience a bunch. And now with people being indoors, it's like, oh my God, I bet you Pokemon Go is going to have this tremendous hit to its revenue model. And I guess it's still going.
Yeah.
They've added the remote raid passes, which I was able to be invited. Phil and his wife invited me to a couple of raids during the day.
Yeah.
Like a weekend ago, I want to say.
Okay.
And that worked out really, really well. But there's still this weird thing where it's like, if you're the one initiating a remote raid pass on a gym near you.
Yeah.
You still have to be within a proper range of the gym to actually use it. So if you're like in a moving vehicle and you see a gym you want to do, you use a remote raid pass to go to it. You still have to, like, if you're moving away from it, it's like, oh, you've moved too far away now and you can't get back to it again because you only get a smattering of gyms that you can select to start initially yourself that are within a certain range of you. And it's frustrating that they would do that, but you know, overall it's been a pretty positive experience. I think the walking distance for all the eggs has been cut in half like pretty much indefinitely at this point.
That's good. I mean one of the reasons I stopped playing Pokemon Go was I stopped commuting by bike. I started being, you know, by car for most places I go.
Oh.
And that has made it incredibly dangerous to there's very few places that are close to me, and walking around is not even responsible at this point. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I might, you know, when I really loved playing Pokemon Go was when I was traveling, and traveling's pretty much done now. So like,
right.
So I mean, yeah. But anyway, but getting back to it, Pokemon Go is a game that's improved a lot, and has changed dramatically from when it started. Let's talk about
PvP now. There's the whole gym model changed drastically. It's a lot better.
There's trading, which is wonderful.
Yep.
And I mean, and I was Pokemon Go is something that I definitely will get back into again because I always do. It always draws me back. There'll be something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was originally, probably when I was thinking about going to, you know, I was planning to go to the States this summer, which, of course, did not happen. But when that was still on the table, I usually start playing Pokemon Go again in anticipation of trading for, like, the Pokemon that you can only get in the States and all the airports, which have a million billion Pokestops and stuff like that. You know, that's one thing that I always enjoyed about traveling. But without that happening,
I've been making this annual business trip to the Kalahari for that conference. I'll just name drop them right here.
Sure.
And that's how I got into, partly how I got into playing it again was because, like, there were Pokestops around. And then, you know, the area where I live has a lot more than it used to. But that trip isn't happening this year. It's a virtual one-day conference now.
That's what they decided to do with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I could go then.
I'm going to have to make my own bacon. You could go.
When is it?
It's free.
When is it?
Well, it's Monday in the States. So it starts tomorrow morning. So it'll be pretty much while you're asleep for the most part. But part of Tuesday morning, too, for you.
Well, forget that then.
I'm sorry. But
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
My Monday night.
Maybe. Is Monday morning here.
Maybe I can pop in.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure how it worked exactly. I was going to sign up tonight yet and get everything rolling, but
so I'm guessing you're not a guest.
No. I never have been. But I've always attended their sessions. Very interesting stuff about the tech industry. But that reminds me, though, that Tokyo Game Show is going virtual this year. And that means
we can go,
back, baby.
Woo! We did it.
It only took 9 years.
Yeah.
So I got to sign us up for that yet, too. But
if you're free that weekend. Yeah, get us signed September. Up for that.
Let's do it. But all right. I want to say No Man's Sky is different from these other games for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One, at least in the case of Pokemon Go, I don't really have. There's nothing really about the game, the way the game was originally played, that I have any nostalgia for.
Okay.
I feel like mostly.
Yeah.
Only made improvements to it. And there was kind of an understanding that this was the way the game was going to come out and be updated eventually. It's like, yes, we had this plan. This is upgrade path. We have all these generations of Pokemon to get through. Because when you started, it was just the 151-ish from the Kanto region, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that game, that's kind of one thing. The other ones, which Pokemon Go shares with these are free to play or went to free to play when they weren't originally, that feels definitely worse. Like I wish I could play Robot Unicorn Attack again in its weird Christmas and heavy metal themed variations.
Oh my goodness, I was thinking about that game yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, we were watching this is for another podcast, but you need to start watching Teen Titans Go. You need to start watching that because I really, and they have an episode that was like 80s nostalgia hard rock, and it basically was a reference to Robot Unicorn Attack.
That is amazing.
And just 80s album covers in general. It just, and I'm like, oh, I want to talk with Sean about this. And I'm like, you're the superhero guy. I don't even live in this world. You're the one who, like, I go to, like...
It's not a superhero show, though. That's why...
there's superheroes in it. That's probably why
it. That's how I feel about Doom Patrol, but I like Doom Patrol. You know what? That's another... That's right. That's a different podcast entirely.
Just watch a couple episodes. If you don't like it, I won't bring it up again. But I'm going to keep bringing it up until you watch it. Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
the episodes are 10 minutes long. You can spare 10 minutes. I even recorded a clip of one and sent it to you on your phone.
You're right. You did, and it was pretty good. I agree.
Yes.
But yeah, Robot Unicorn Attack is a thing of the past for me now because it was 32-bit.
Yep.
So there's Robot Unicorn Attack 2. There's Angry Birds too, but the original Angry Birds still kind of exists, if in name only.
I mean,
And those are different. Those are different games, right? Like No Man's Sky, by comparison.
Yeah.
Like I said, the core game still exists with some modifications to like the elements you use to do your crafting, and the different crafting pieces that you can attain.
Yeah.
But you can still play it more or less the way the original game was, and there was really not a lot of indication that they were going to enhance it the way that they've subsequently done it. Like there was no template to follow. There's no like other game series really. Like, you know, there were other ones like Destiny and Anthem. Is it Anthem?
Sure. It's Anthem.
The one that BioWare, right. Okay. So what's most intriguing to me about this, though, is its business model. Like,
yeah,
how do they get any money? Right, they have to maintain these servers. There's this massive multiplayer experience. Maybe they get like a revenue share from the multiplayer passes they have to. I don't know how that works, but
yeah, that's actually a very good question, because No Man's Sky have microtransactions?
No, nothing at all.
I don't know.
Everything you do is in game.
Because it was for a long. Well, okay. For a while, it was a Sony exclusive and kind of a flagship one. So I wouldn't be surprised that they were getting some money to maintain it. But now that it's multi-platform, it is multi-platform now.
It is multi-platform, and the Galaxy is shared amongst those platforms now where it wasn't originally.
Because it's multi-platform now, they had a reason to make it good enough that people on the other platform purchase it. Because, you know, it had some kind of negative word of mouth, and if they could generate good word of mouth, this whole new base can be willing to give it a try. So, but in general, if a game doesn't do well, there's no reason to keep supporting it.
Now, right. So I'm very curious how this game has continued in these last 4 years. Like, I didn't realize this, but I stopped playing it December of 2016.
Yeah.
I thought it was maybe 2017, but no, it's been nearly 4 years, and it's survived and thrived even in the intervening time. And I bought this game once for not even $60 because I still had that Best Buy whatever thing. So it was like $48 plus tax.
Oh, yeah, and but it's been deeply discounted. I see it popping up for like $10 on PSN.
Yeah,
you know?
So how does this work? Because there are no microtransactions. I'm not paying for online right now, so I have no clue what its revenue model is.
I mean, it was definitely successful when it came out. It was a hit. You know, it sold a lot of copies. The haters are big and vocal, but it also had its fans who, you know, and I mean, Hello Games is not a huge company. They don't have a lot of staff, so like their overhead might not actually be that bad. So just the residual sales of the game and keeping and building up their reputation so that their next game sells well might be motivation enough. But I agree. Sometimes I'm like, how does a company. But that's
it's not
thing.
Even like a No Man's Sky 2. Like there have been two Splatoon games.
Yeah, their thing is there might wind up to be a No Man's Sky 2, and no one will buy it unless they keep supporting No Man's Sky 1 and show that they're in it for the long run. You know,
right? Yep.
So, I mean, that's all speculation. I mean, they're going multi-platform now. Hello Games has a Switch game in the pipeline right now. So
really?
Yeah. It's not an open world. It's a more limited. I can't remember what it was, but it's kind of a adventure game. It was in one of the mini directs a little while ago. It looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it briefly in our one of our previous podcasts. But yeah, so I mean, they've obviously got to show that they are, you know, a competent developer, and you know they're not going to want to just throw old games away, which a lot of companies do. Mm-hmm. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so let's talk about Animal Crossing, because Let's talk about Animal Crossing
again for the third week in a row.
But Animal Crossing is something that, well, I mean, it is the number one game in the world right now. So, I mean, it's worth talking about. It's number one in the Japanese charts this week. And we're how many months after release right now?
I don't even know.
It's just steamrolling any other game that comes in. A brand new game like Last of Us 2 came in and was number one for that week. And the next week, it's back to Animal Crossing. So, I mean, that's Japan. The States, I'm sure, is different, but it's still doing incredibly well. And they've been giving summer updates. Just got an update a couple days ago that added fireworks and various other things. Dream journeys or something. Kind of, we need to exchange dream codes at some point.
I don't even know what this is. I have not been playing Animal Crossing because of No Man's Sky. My kids haven't either. In fact, my kids have missed Animal Crossing now, and that's what they're planning to play next weekend. So,
yep, you should. Wow, Sean just likes something. You're multitasking. Okay, anyway.
I did? No, I didn't.
Okay, it just popped up.
Is it Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter just popped up on my phone.
Twitter will do that hours later. Like I'll do something with one account and it'll show up on my other account like that evening.
Ah,
I'm like,
okay.
What? I'm not even touching my phone right now, Twitter.
Yeah. But anyway, so you should try it because there's been a lot of you probably did the update where you can do like diving for stuff, you know.
No.
Oh, really? You're several updates out then.
It's been like 4 weeks, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They've added a lot of summer content.
Wow.
And now Animal Crossing is a game that's not totally different now. Oh, they're also adding cloud transfers of your town, which is good. Because
really?
I'm very worried that my kids are going to break my Switch one day, and I would not like to lose everything, you know. So
how does that work if every Switch had been an island previously?
You transfer your whole island to another Switch.
Okay, but you can now, which you couldn't before.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, because
I was wondering about that
because they didn't really. I mean, they allowed before, I think you could restore your island if you contacted Nintendo or something like that.
Okay.
You know? But now, I mean, they're making the process easier. But again, the core gameplay is pretty much the same for Animal Crossing. But it is one of those games that updates pretty frequently for free. And, you know, the game experience is different. But
I like this though because unlike No Man's Sky, which has a central server where a lot of this data is stored, that's the only way to interact with other players even on your same console.
Yeah,
like Animal Crossing minus the updates you would get on your Switch to make it work with like friends across the internet.
Yeah,
like you could play this game indefinitely, all of you on the same Switch.
Yeah,
well, long after Nintendo is.
Yeah.
Dust or the number two company in Japan instead of the number one company.
But, there's definitely a robust single player experience. But that's a difference between a lot of these online games because not only are you not able to roll back to previous editions to play the way that it used to be played, but in fact, these games will cease to exist someday.
Right.
Now let's bring up World of Warcraft. I think that's a really big one because
oh boy, MMOs because, in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because those are a completely different experience, but a lot of people are very nostalgic for the original experience so much that people made a vanilla World of Warcraft as a fan project and put it up and were immediately sued by Blizzard. Maybe not immediately. I think it was up for a little while. But people wanted to create that original experience, kind of the limit, you know, the level limits, because they had strong nostalgia for it, people who didn't really care for the way the game had turned. Hmm. And of course that was shot down. And there was a Warcraft 3 was recently updated. Yeah, Warcraft 3. And a lot of people didn't like the upgrade, but they were unable to roll it back.
Wow.
So, you know, that game had people playing it a certain way for 20 years.
Right? Yeah, it's hard to believe it's even that old. Like, I didn't like the whole hero system from what they had nerfed it.
Yeah.
From what they promised it was going to be. So I never played Warcraft 3.
Yep. I played it a little bit. I was big into Warcraft 2, though. Loved it.
Ditto. Yeah. How old is that? Don't tell me. Never mind.
No, you don't want to know. You don't want to... Oh, my God. Wow. It's got to be... Wow.
Did I play the original Warcraft before Warcraft 2 came out?
I did.
I want to say I did, but it was probably like really close to before. before Warcraft 2 came out?
I did because the PC that I had at the time was so old, and it was just something someone got rid of or whatever, that it couldn't run Warcraft 2 at the time. So I played that, and then I actually played Warcraft 2 and StarCraft on my Mac.
Wow, awesome.
Because it was cool, because Blizzard was one of the few companies that you bought a copy of it and it had both versions on the disc.
Right, okay, sure.
Because for most companies, you had to go to, like, a Mac specialty store to buy Mac software, you know.
Ooh.
You know, because, like, GameStop wouldn't have Mac stuff, unless it was, yeah, those... Oh, that's my cuckoo clock. I don't know if you could hear that.
I can.
Yeah, we got a cuckoo clock, yeah. So it's noon right now. I heard it earlier, so we've been podcasting for a little while now.
Just a bit.
But anyway, then you have a game, you know, a lot of games like Smash. If you don't install the update, you're down a number of characters, you know, you can't play online and stuff like that. So I don't know, but again, a lot of these are upgrades rather than completely redoing. But mobile games, yeah, you'll see mobile games, and they are so different from what they originally were that it's the same game in name alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know how I am, Sean. You know.
Oh, yes.
You know how I am. That there's a part of me that says games shouldn't receive updates because they should be complete experiences from the time, because from a preservation standpoint,
right,
you know, there's no, I mean, people are doing their best to preserve old versions of games, but like with some of these like constantly changing and evolving games, there's no way to do that really.
Yeah, when your game from the get-go is a distributed service in some respects, there's just no way.
Yeah. And I don't know. You know? It's really... I'm not totally sure how to feel about that. There's definitely... I think there's definitely some things that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, a game like No Man's Sky can't exist unless it's this massively shared experience, though. So that's what makes it unique to me.
When they shut down Splatoon servers, all it's going to have is the campaign mode, which is fun.
Yeah.
But like, it's fun, but like, it's not the game experience. So I don't know. We're approaching uncharted territory, really, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go. I would be very interested to hear from our listeners about what games that they have that are totally different experiences than when they started. And it's so different from just having a remake. Like, a remake's going to be totally different. It's going to have quality. Oh, I thought of another one. Xenoblade 2. Like, when that game came out, it lacked, like, it had the map system was all busted or whatever, or not busted exactly, but like that game improved so much over the original experience, just in playability and things like that, and frame rate and the drop for the gacha mechanics in it. But something I miss is there used to be these soldiers who would come out and they would go, Oh gosh, what was it? Don't forget me. What was it? They took it out, but so many people just loved it. Dang it! I've forgotten. See, my history has been gone. Oh, everyone's like. What's funny is I know part of it is don't forget me, and I've forgotten them.
Oh, no.
Think you can take me? Don't forget me. That was the phrase that they'd say. And like, but you'd have a room of like 10 of these guys, and they'd just be talking over each other like, think you can take me? Think you can take me? Think you don't forget me? Don't forget me? Don't forget. It was hilarious, but it produced so many memes, but because it was obviously not supposed to be like that, but they took it out and I miss it.
Right.
And like, and again, there's no way to roll a game like that back. Oh gosh, right. the first result for it is a Reddit post called "Think You Can Take Me, Don't Forget Me" has been removed from Xenoblade, and it's a bunch of people really sad about it.
That's awesome.
It's been replaced with a more subdued "Take That." Oh, and people were archiving it. They're like, "Don't upgrade, don't upgrade."
Lord.
And that's the thing, yeah. But that whole meme thing has gone away because it's been removed from the game, you know, and for better or for worse. And I've always liked games to be released as complete experiences, but that's not going to happen anymore. I mean, it's absolutely, that is old man thinking right now.
Oh Lord.
Cause it's not going to be like that anymore. The world has moved on. For example, there was the, and for better or for worse, because take Card Fighters Clash on the Nintendo DS. It had a game breaking glitch in the game. You couldn't beat the game. It shipped that way. And to get it fixed, you had to send your cartridges back and get a new version of it, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Because now they would just send a day one patch.
Right.
And fix it. But the thing is, I have the updated cartridge from that game, and I can play that forever. Mm-hmm. But if a game has a day one patch and the servers are down or gone, it will remain glitched forever.
There is a going back much earlier, is a game breaking glitch near the end of Journeyman Project 2 Buried in Time that you had to download an executable file and go through this process to update it. I don't know if I can play that game anymore. Like, even if I find my install discs. And this is like from the early 90s, I want to say, or was it mid 90s? Yeah.
I was going to say it was fixed out of the Mac version, but now that I realize it, since they've switched to 64-bit architecture, I bet I can't play it on Mac either.
Yeah, there you go.
So, like, yeah.
Right?
Right.
Good old games has an updated version.
That's possible. They're good at that. But yeah, it's so interesting how these things have come about. So what you've been playing? We haven't talked for what? July. We haven't talked for July.
Future Retro Pile of Shame time.
Yep.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
Pretty much I've only been playing No Man's Sky and chess.
I have also been playing a great deal of chess lately.
Really?
Because I've taught my daughter to play chess, and we play chess on Clubhouse Games. Have you played Clubhouse Games?
I haven't bought Clubhouse Games. I was so excited for it to come out, and then I played No Man's Sky, so I should probably buy Clubhouse Games.
You should play it. And we should play online sometime because Sarah, who has tremendously much more time than I do, has taught herself to play Hanafuda. So now I'm going to learn that one and we're going to play it. So,
sweet.
And I've been playing some Shogi in there, which I'm enjoying a lot. Lucas loves the slot car racing because it has one button control. and and cars, which he enjoys. So yeah, we've been having a blast with that collection. There's tons of really good stuff in there. And what else were we playing recently? I mean, checkers. We've been playing a lot of checkers. And gosh, what other? We've just been playing. There's just a ton of really good games in there. And the tutorials are pretty good. So yeah, I'd recommend that one. You know what else I'd recommend?
What else would you recommend?
I would recommend My Game Shop.
Ah.
Ooh, such a nice
didn't
plug.
Even have to remind you.
I know. I keep forgetting to plug the store. I was kind of holding off plugging it for a long time as well, because with the global pandemic going, airmail shipping stopped, and it is still stopped. So the only option I had was like to send packages via surface mail, which took like 2 months.
Oh gosh, okay.
And my sales went, you know.
Right.
Which is okay. It's only a hobby business anyway. You know what I mean? And but now I've got an option. I found Yamato Global Transport actually allows me to send a box, yay big. Oh my goodness.
I can't see your box because of the
background.
It has
disappeared. Hold on. There we go. No background. Yeah. Wow. That just suddenly popped into existence.
That's amazing.
If you can't see this because you're on the audio version, it is a box of it is a 60 centimeters of total dimension. You see, that's the thing. They have flat rates. I can get a box of this up to 2 kilograms. And 60 total centimeters. That means X plus Y plus Z.
Okay.
And in a box like this, I can fit about, if you're doing like CD style games, I'd fit about 12 of them in and still be underweight and nice padding. And okay. DVD size games less, you know, maybe 8, because, you know, but. You know, and the box costs $30 to ship. So it's expensive to buy one game, but it's actually cheaper than EMS if you're doing a bunch of them.
Okay.
And I am back to shipping things. So I started that about 10 days ago, and I've got a couple orders for people who are willing to. It's yeah. So. Kind of back in business. Sales are still definitely down, but it's nice to be doing something. I want to talk to you about Humidity.
I haven't played that one.
Do you know what this is?
No. It looks real gross.
It's not. This is a portable dehumidifier.
Oh.
Basically, it up here, it has like that stuff that you'd find in like, you know, in a pair of shoes that's like do not eat, like the silica stuff that absorbs. And there's like a filter layer. And it basically what will happen is when you take this plastic off the top, it'll start sucking moisture from the air and it'll pool down here. It'll collect.
Fascinating. Okay.
And these are very common because it's so humid here down in southern Japan. Right. And if you don't have air conditioning air conditioning in every room. So I have a bunch of those in the game room right now because I'm very worried about mold and things like that in the room. So and people put them in their closets in Japan. And they're actually pretty cool. But I realize they pretty much don't exist outside of like Asian countries, like really humid Asian countries.
Sure.
I've never heard of them, but let us know in the comments if you know what.
Right.
That,
do you
that
use
is.
This? Can you recycle those? Like, what kind of waste does that produce? These are the
tons, unfortunately. Now, they make reusable ones that you can replace with the silica stuff, and I need to look into getting some of those. Well, actually, what I want to look into getting is an actual dehumidifier.
Right.
That's what I would like to get. But for now, these keep my collection safe in the summer. So.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. That was a strange. It just I had one on the desk, so I decided to talk about it.
Let's talk.
All right. Let me put up. All right. Anyway, so you've been playing chess. You've been playing No Man's Sky.
Yep. I've talked a lot about No Man's Sky.
Yep.
So I guess I won't say a whole heck of a lot more, except that I had this interesting experience recently where I decided to go through all the old screenshots and some video apparently I took.
Yeah.
On my console. So I looking at that, I found a snapshot of my ship, the interior of my ship, right before.
Yeah.
I stopped playing, and then I took one right when I picked it up again, and there's some interesting, like, inconsequential graphical updates to the cockpit.
Interesting.
But more consequential, I realized, was that the name of my ship, which was auto-generated when I got it, had changed. So I don't know.
Okay.
If I had named it myself, I might have been able to name it back in the day, right?
Yeah.
But if I named it myself, I bet it would have stayed, assuming I could have.
Huh.
I've since done that. So yay me, I guess. But I don't know how much else got redone, right? Like, because it was basically a game save upgrade process that I've been able to track down. That's kind of what happened. Because I did have a base at the time, and one of the things I had to do when I started the game again was to reestablish it. So there was like a place where it would sort of tell you where a good place to make a base was, and you kind of had to put it there. And then when it regenerated itself, it happened in a way that was a little less than ideal. Actually, it didn't work at all. And I had to like tear everything down and start over again.
Well, that's less than ideal. Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have a lot there, so it wasn't a huge loss.
Yeah.
But it's I don't even know like the star system or planet I was on was even the one I left when I stopped playing the game. Like if they just like put me somewhere.
Maybe because you didn't do the incremental updates, it had to kind of like throw you into, you know.
Right. Because I sure didn't. It was many years and many versions later. So reorienting myself was this whole experience. A lot of the upgrades on my ship didn't work anymore.
Mm.
And going through the game again or going through the screenshots again kind of reminded me of what those must have been. But I had to like dismantle them all and like get new ones again because there's this whole like new economic system where you buy things using nanites.
Okay.
Instead of just like the credits that you can accrue, which is weird. I don't know why they have this. They have different scales and levels of economy now.
Now, that's very strange because usually when a game does that, it's because of microtransactions. But there's still no microtransactions in the game?
Yeah, none whatsoever. It's just for the mechanics of the game. Like there's a way to upgrade your starship, which are distinct and incompatible with ways to upgrade a freighter. Your base system is again this whole different thing from anything else. It's like there's different, I wouldn't say entire games, but like different sets of mechanics that are parallel to each other, so they make sense but are incompatible with each other. And I don't know how I feel about that exactly, but I don't hate it. It just means I don't want to do certain things. Like I'm never going to upgrade my freighter because there's no point. Like it might be a relic of some version of freighter management that they just decide to abandon later on. I don't know.
That's possible.
And the only reason I got it was because I wanted more storage space, not knowing that there was this whole mechanic where you could buy storage for in-game currency storage for your base, and then the same container, the same number of container would have the same thing in it no matter what base you were on. And then in the most recent update, you could put those those storage containers on your freighter.
Okay.
And even bypass the mechanic of unlocking those storage containers with research items.
Huh.
Because you could just get them for your freighter. You couldn't access them from your base without going through that path. But it's like, wait, I have this unlimited storage as long as I have the materials to build the storage container. So it could have been an oversight, but that's another example of like, here's the mechanic for how you do this thing.
Yeah.
And now we're
going to
upgrade out of it. Huh. It's very weird. And I'm not sure how to feel about it yet, but I don't hate it. So
I know it's not economically viable and they don't want to split the user base, but I got to tell you, I wish on some of these games they would offer to like keep a classic mode. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. I agree.
You know, some games go through like huge graphical changes too, and sometimes I really like the original art more, you know. So yeah, but I mean but who knows? With the whole archival community, maybe, you know, people are gonna roll, I don't know. That's the thing with rights and everything, rights management.
Yeah.
All right, let me talk about my thing, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna save the one we were talking about earlier because you brought up Clubhouse games, and I'd like to talk about it a little bit more.
Sure.
So this thing now, I don't know how much they're charging. Is it a full price title in the States?
I don't know because I was gonna buy it, and then I didn't look it up. I can look that up
because it's only 4,000 yen here, and like considering most new first party games are like 6,000 or 7,000. It's a quite a reasonable price for a game.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it is 51 freaking games, you know, which is really, really good, you know. Actually, it's 52 things because there's also like a piano.
Oh.
Which, wow. With touchscreen stuff, which is kind of cute, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's there's so many games I've never heard of before. Uh-huh. Which is kind of cool because they went with a whole international type of thing. And there's actually a story within the game of traveling around the world, experiencing all these games. So if you do the story mode, it actually takes you through the games one by one.
Okay, interesting.
Which I think is really... Now, I skipped that immediately because my kids wanted to play. Like, because we got it and we wanted to... The kids wanted to play Connect Four and Checkers right away.
Right.
And Othello, which are all given different names because some of those are brand names.
Right.
There's off-brand Uno, there's off-brand Othello, there's off-brand a variety of things. But anyway, if you want to try some of the games, if you want to see if the user experience is up to you, there's a demo that you can download for free, and it has playable versions of a couple of the games.
Really?
One of the reasons they want people to download the demo is because if you have the demo, you can also do the multiplayer mode with someone else with the game without buying another copy.
Oh.
It's
cool.
Kind of like, remember how the DS used to have single cart multiplayer where it would beam a smaller version of the game to the other person?
Yes.
It's like that, except this time you just download that. So as long as other people have that on their system, as long as one person has the game, everybody can do the multiplayer.
Okay.
And the multiplayer is very cool because your family is multi-system.
Yep.
So you could play for, and maybe you wouldn't play Mahjong, but if you played a multiplayer Mahjong, each screen would have, you know, your tiles so the other people couldn't see them.
Okay, I do like that. That's
or
that
for
really cool.
For card games and stuff, you know, you can see your hand and the other person can't, you know. So I think that's
the US version's $40, by the way.
Oh, okay. So definitely worth getting, and I mean, this is a game that I could I will always buy the cartridge myself, but I could see tremendous reason for people to get a digital one of that, because it's really nice for just pick up and play a game real quick, you know. But yeah, I'd recommend that, and I'd love to play online with some of these games, although I think your level of chess is way beyond mine.
Probably.
I mean, you know, you probably know what an opening gambit is.
I know a few.
And I just know that is something that exists from the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer,
which I still need to see now. Yeah.
What? All right. Although that's for the other podcast, the Secret Podcast.
Secret podcast.
But yeah. I would say it's one of the nicest, most economical collections Nintendo's put forth since the last Clubhouse games, which I also enjoyed quite a bit. It would have been nice if they had included, like, some of the games I think are kind of throw-in. Like, they've got Toy Boxing, which is basically Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which is fun, but, like, it doesn't really feel, like, as full-featured as some of the other things. I would have loved if the chess game, for example, had allowed different piece sets, because I think that the default set, when you're looking at it in handheld mode, the queen and the bishop look too similar, just in how just when it's on the small screen, because that's what's also cool. You can do it in tabletop mode where you just put it down on the table and you can move the pieces with your fingers, which is actually my preferred way to play it with Sarah. But then the screen is quite small, so you know.
Okay. Right.
So in that mode, it would be nice if they had pieces that were a little more distinct. But other than that, it's a really nice collection of games, and it's high tech definitely, but it's in a low tech sort of way. So I don't feel so bad about having my kids game on that for extended periods of time.
Okay.
Because it's staring at screens, but it's. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to
education.
I just try to justify it in my own head. Actually, amount
didn't work out. No,
it did. It did. Yeah.
That's all right.
But come on, it's chess. Chess.
It's lot chess.
It's chess.
You know, we actually have a chess board at our place. So, that's like, nice. You know, when the kids want to play on my phone, it's like, nah, we can play chess.
I want to pick up a chessboard right now, except they're actually not so common here in Japan. It never really took off. It never really took off so much. It's easier to get than a checkerboard, which is impossible.
Really?
I had to import one from the States because checkers is not a known game here. Although maybe it will become so because it's in Clubhouse games. I need to get a chessboard. I would like to get a nice set now. Not, you know, maybe like some pieces with some weight to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's very satisfying. I'm not going to go for one of those $400 ones where everything's carved out of stone or anything, but it would be nice to get one that the pieces wouldn't blow away if I went, you know.
right.
But my daughter loves chess, and she understands the rules. Because Clubhouse Games is really nice because you can turn on assist at first. So when you click on a piece, it shows you the possible moves, and it also shows you where that piece is going to be captured if you move there.
Oh, that is very nice.
And, you know, so you can actually – and you can turn on a mode that puts a dot where your opponent moved last if you can't remember.
Oh.
And, you know, and of course, I would turn those off if I was playing a game with my friends. But when my kids are playing, it's really very helpful for them. Because then I don't have to keep reminding them how the horsey moves, you know? By the way,
that's good. Yes.
By the way, I was chastised by my daughter for that because I was saying, you know, okay, you got to move your horse, and she's like, Dad, it's a knight, and I'm like, oh, all right then.
You got told.
I know I did. Yep. But anyway, I recommend that game, and it's you know what? Usually I do Pile of Shame, but that's a future retro right there.
It sure is.
I'm playing it, and what's nice about those games is if they do any update in the future, it'll be purely cosmetic or you know, because these games, the rules are already pretty much set in stone. You know what I mean? So, that's a game that's going to continue to be fun 20 years from now. So,
I was going to say Chess's rules have been stable for a few centuries, I think. So,
although Bobby Fischer is trying to change that.
Right.
I just realized he's passed away, right?
Yes.
Wilford Brimley passed away this week.
Yeah, right? I thought he was old, my entire life, basically. Like,
yeah,
he always
exactly.
seemed old.
Exactly.
Like, he was, like, what, 50 in Cocoon, I want to say?
Yeah, but I thought he was, like, 70. So, like...
Yeah.
Like, but, like, he was... I was following his Twitter. He was pretty active on Twitter.
Right.
Like, that's a man who, like, you know, at a certain point, if someone lives a certain amount of time, you just assume that they'll live forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And, like, I was sad. I was sad because he just seemed, I don't know, I've never met him, but he seemed a decent chap.
Right.
And, yeah. So, there's that. Now I'm sad. Say something happy.
And now, a haiku. 16 seconds left. You can't take the sky from me. Ooh, freighter update.
Let's go to some comments. Viewer
questions.
What Discord has to say.
All right, let's see. I like those guys. Everyone should join our Discord. There'll be a link to it in the show notes.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Let's see. What are people saying? Well, that's
all right. I'm in. I got Peter B asking a question which I feel is directed at me.
Uh-oh.
What are you doing in NES Satellite? Great question. We've had a script for a long time. I think I had plans last year to record it. It's mostly like, you know, console porn shots, basically, right? Like just like right up in there in HD. But there were a few bits and gags that require people.
Yeah.
And now that I really can't have people over, I don't know how I'm going to record that.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to have two people. I may just have to change it so there's just like one person in the foreground and one person in the background, and I can do that at home now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I really want like a guest back of someone's head for that bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe if they're comfortable with like wearing a mask or something, and we can record that. But
all right.
We have a script for it. I'm pretty proud of. I've wanted to film for a while now.
Yeah,
And it's on the docket of things to do.
Yep.
So it's when, if I say this here and it doesn't come out, you're gonna all harangue me. So, 2021.
There you go.
I'll give you a date, and if it comes out sooner, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
All right. Mecha Dragon X says, next major episode, when and what topic? You know what? There's so many long-form episodes that are partially done right now. I'm not sure which one's going to hit first.
Yep.
But we're mostly back to retro topics.
Yep.
I guess I'll leave it there. It depends what you guys consider a major episode to, but something that's along the lines of you know, not recorded on the fly scripted episode. Right. There's a few right now, and hopefully soon. It's been hard. It's been really hard because the nature of my employment changed dramatically due to the pandemic. So my hours are very different than they used to be, much later hours and things like that. So I have very few times when there's not kids around, and just getting these podcasts recorded is pretty difficult. But and the studio that I was using to record, it's way too hot in the summer to do for any long periods of time. So for me, a lot of new filming is going to happen when it starts cooling down a little bit, but expect some small stuff in the meantime. I just don't think it's really socially responsible right now to do on the goes, which is unfortunate. Right. Because I have, there's so many places I'd love to show you guys. But I see a lot of Japan YouTubers right now who are going to, you know, do walkthroughs of stores right now, touching all the stuff. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But in the meantime, Sara is very interested in doing another Sara Plays. Very interested. And all right, we'll probably do one of those. I wouldn't consider that a major video, but look for one of those probably in the next month or two.
Another new one or another other one that I knew was coming?
That one is almost ready to go.
Okay.
But she wants to do a new one, a new one. So
maybe two?
Maybe two. And there's a video that I would consider major that Sean and I have been working on for about 2 years now, that will only appeal to a very small amount of our audience. But those people are going to love it. So there's that. All right.
The last one worth mentioning is the first episode of a new series.
Yes.
Which is also ostensibly a retro topic.
Yes.
So hopefully you'll enjoy that.
Hopefully.
That is completely separate from the NES satellite video.
Well, that was vague. Let's move on.
That was super vague. Our Patreon supporters know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
They got to see the first 3 minutes of it so far.
Join our Patreon.
So if you want to see it too, you can become a patron today and just go to the link that's already there. I think it's the most recent post yet.
If you're a Patreon subscriber and you'd like to see me dance, I will dance. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know what? Leave it in. Let's see how many people request that. Better get on TikTok before it's banned. Okay.
Oh, Lord. Well, Saturday came and went, so I don't think that was going to happen.
All right.
I think you already addressed this next one from Blake.
Oh, but he has the second part, so just read it out.
Blake wants to know if your sales have rebounded now that the shipping started back up for Japan, and also which theme is better, Super Mario World Athletic NTSC or PAL? Super Mario World Athletic.
Maybe he's been thinking aesthetic?
Aesthetic, okay.
Maybe? And if so, it differs. Some PAL box arts and things like that. And I like that the PAL cartridges look like the Super Famicom cartridges.
Yeah.
And the box, I don't know. It's a toss-up. I mean, I'll go with NTSC, definitely, because that encompasses both the U.S. and Japan. And I think in Japan, box arts in general are superior. Not always.
Yeah, I agree.
Not always, but in a lot of cases.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't see what he's talking about exactly.
No. Sorry, Blake. Ask it again next time.
All right. Kanacha says, what game have you beaten 100 times already, gotten 100% of the game, but still come back to it as sort of a comfort food type of game? I've never beat a game more than 2 or 3 times, I think.
Right.
But I've definitely gone back to Final Fantasy IV quite a few times. Game that I've done, there are very few games that I've ever done 100% on. The original Dragon Quest I did, back when it was called Dragon Warrior, I got every item and every spell and like leveled up my characters like crazy. Character, actually. But there's definitely games that are my comfort food. Definitely. I like a lot of the old arcade game ports. I play Burger Time, Mappy, Dig Dug, Tetris all the time. Those are my comfort games. Puzzle games I play a lot of. Picross. What about you, Sean?
I don't 100% games. The games I try to 100%,
yeah.
I don't end up doing because it becomes too much of a chore and I stop having fun. Like, yeah. I've the games where you don't have to get everything or it's not very difficult, probably like Link to the Past, you know, like any Zelda game, really. Like there's not, like, you do the same things and there's not like secret stuff you got to do. I don't think I've ever completed like Donkey Kong Country, for instance. I never got 100% on that, although, yeah, I've tried. Same for like Metroid, Super Metroid, I mean.
Yeah.
I think I tried with Fusion. That's difficult though. Same with Zero Mission, which makes it easy to backtrack.
Yeah.
But the only game I can say for sure I've 100%ed in recent memory is the Penny Arcade Precipice Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness Part 2.
Wow.
Which is the only thing I've gotten from an achievement standpoint, 100% on.
Interesting.
Ever. I don't know why I managed that one.
Well,
but
it's shorter because it's an episodic game. So
right. But like part one, I don't think I got. Well, I think I was one achievement away.
Interesting. I thought of one. I thought of one that I did 100% on. Captain Toad Treasure Trackers. Although maybe now that they're, I haven't on the Switch version, but on the Wii U version. I went and got all the stars on all the levels.
Wow. Okay.
Well, it's not the hardest of games, definitely, but I like it. It's a brain game, so like it's not just about quick reactions or whatever. So I did, and that game is also a bit of a comfort game. So I think that's my answer for that one. Okay, you want to move on? Man.
Yeah.
Gogurt. Let's call him
How
Gogurt.
How many tracks has Sean made and lost to the shot battery in the Excitebike cartridge? Like, since I was a kid? I don't even want to count.
I've lost a lot of hours of my precious childhood I can't get back waiting for that save to finish.
Right. If only we had known. Shout out to that Twitter account that shared our data recorded video recently.
Oh yeah, it was
No, I'm looking it up
so
right now.
So dumb.
I had it. I thought I had it. Nope. If it was just mentions, I'd be able to get to it. There we go. Instead of all. There we go. Retro Gaming Geek. At Retro
Thank you.
Gaming Geek. On Twitter, thank you for linking to our video. It's one of our favorites. It's still one of our best performing ones.
Yep.
Especially on the Famicom Dojo specific channel on YouTube.
Yep.
Although the one about downloading Japanese eShop games on the Switch is like trending the highest right now.
Yeah, and it's one of our more appreciated videos because a lot of the comments there are like, oh, thank you, and I can do this. Now, one of, some of the comments said it doesn't work anymore, but I think it does. Like, if any of you guys want to test that out for us, that'd be great. Yeah. And do yourself a favor and be able to play a whole bunch of Japan-exclusive games for no additional money.
Right? So, just your subscription to the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yep. Satoshi Matrix writes, what aspect of modern gaming do you think is the worst, and what aspect of modern gaming do you think is the best?
That sounds like a whole topic.
That's our next podcast. There you go.
All right.
Write it down, Mr. Sean. Write it down.
All right.
And Mario posts, can I post a haiku?
And I said yes. Did he do it?
No. But there's our Denshi Mail answer. Yes, you can.
Yeah, man. You can always post a haiku. We've even put his on the show before.
Yes, we have. We have.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details.
So I guess that's probably it for today. I'm hungry.
given our current rate of releasing podcasts, Tokyo Game Show may have come and gone. We'll have one more episode maybe.
How many we got in the can right now?
Of episodes of this one.
Oh. Okay. I thought we recorded more. Okay, well.
Nope, we are all caught up. We released the most recent one about a week ago.
I thought we had more because
the video isn't out yet.
Secrets.
The video isn't up yet, but yeah. Oh, the secret. Yes, those.
Secrets.
Yes, there are more podcasts.
There are more
there
podcasts.
There just aren't more Famicom Dojo podcasts.
Secrets.
We'll get there. Trey knows about it. Yeah. Trey being our overlord at the Nerd and Tie podcast network.
When you say Trey being, it sounds like Trey Bien.
Hey, that's not bad.
If he comes up with another one that's a really good, he should call it Trey Bien.
Is it okay. would it be immoral to like request people vote for us for that Wisconsin podcasting thing?
I don't know.
How else they gonna know to vote for us?
I mean, we could take out ads in Variety like the Oscar nominees do, or we could just say, please vote for us.
All right.
There's a link in the show notes.
Yes, there's a link in the show notes. Assuming
why would that be why would that be immoral?
Man, I don't know how you're supposed to solicit this stuff, but basically, the Wisconsin Podcast Awards. Are being put on by the Wisconsin Podcast Association.
Ooh.
If you like Famicom Dojo, please vote for us in the entertainment category.
Yep.
If you like any other Nerd and Tie podcast network shows, please vote for those in various other categories as well. There's the true crime podcast, Cool and Unusual Punishment.
Ooh.
Which is on a special series on Joe Luganville. I recommend listening to if you're from Eau Claire. If you don't know who he is specifically, and this is like after my time there, so I didn't really know who he was.
Yep.
You will know all of the landmarks and businesses with whom he was associated, and subsequently. Well, just give it a listen.
Subscribing now. If you don't know about Eau Claire, Wisconsin, but you like Bon Iver,
yeah.
Who's now trending because he did a thing with Taylor Swift. And he was in my comparative religions class.
Man.
And I should have hung out with him. I really should have. My life might have turned out different. Okay.
But I
chose to hang out with Sean Orange instead.
Yeah, and this is what happened. So sorry.
Could have been on Bon Iver's podcast right now going, So how about the Miiverse? Pretty bon, huh?
Good lord. Of course, there's the Nerd and Tie podcast, which is also an entertainment podcast. So if you like them better, I guess. But I will haunt you forever if you vote for them.
We don't have a dress code. I'm not even wearing pants.
My tie is hanging off my off my stand here. They have an actual play podcast called Stormwood and Associates.
Yep.
Does that fall under entertainment?
I'm subscribing to Cool and Unusual Punishment right now as you talk.
Do it. So like, you know, their Joe Lugenbill stuff is pretty serious, but most of the time it's just Joey and what's his face being drunk. It's great.
Starlight VHS rental. Boogie Woogie Door Flingers.
There's BS Free Witchcraft, which I believe
there's an episode on Herbert and Gerbert. Okay, totally subscribing to this.
Society and Culture is on there, and so if you aren't listening to other Nerd and Tie podcast shows, we recommend it. They're good stuff.
And we were just on an episode that just got uploaded a few days ago, right?
Yep. That will be on this feed probably before this episode comes out.
Oh, hope you liked it.
Yeah. It was recorded about 3 years ago. One of the last times Vink was in the country, and I had forgotten that we had done this. And our friend Kat was there.
Wait. Is that the one? Where did we do that?
It was at Marathon Park.
Oh my god, that's the one. Oh my, yeah, okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right. I need to look.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It's in a compilation of secret podcasts, some of which I had heard before, none of which the other ones I was actually in. But
I thought it was the secret podcast that we recorded. We recorded a very short one after the one where we guest starred on Nerd and Tie.
Oh, was that? So, maybe it was in there too, or it was in a previous collection.
I'm not sure. All I know is I'm excited now.
Yeah, listen to that. We speak to the future, and some of our predictions come true. It's interesting.
Secret podcasts.
We don't do any secret podcasts
here. No, we wouldn't do a secret podcast.
We would never do that.
Yeah.
It won't be a secret much longer. How about that? I don't think. We have to get a few more tied up.
I think it's too late now, but so I don't know if we can record an episode of a secret podcast. Well, I mean, we don't have a secret podcast.
Right.
Consoles can't talk.
That's exactly right. You know it.
Anyway, secret podcast. Remember the clue. No, you got that?
Is that from Square One?
No, it's from You Don't Know Jack. But
I don't know Jack. Oh, thank you. No, I've played that recently.
Yeah, remember the clue. It's time for another Nip Slitch Nine Learn.
Yep.
Gibberish question.
That's a game that's changed over time. You want to talk about Jackbox and stuff like that. Like, some of those aren't great, but, like, You Don't Know Jack itself has evolved into this you only need your smart device to play kind of thing. And it is incredible.
I've been at parties where we've played. I have a few of them on my Switch, and I bring that over. And just super fun. However, I have not done that since pandemic because I think there's a way to do that. You know,
if you give that game code to like anybody, they can join your game. You don't have to be in the same physical location.
Sean, can we stream this? Can we let our guests in on that?
We could get some guest people. We could stream it.
Okay, I know.
I know. Alana wants to do something with us again. So
that sounds good. She's we were talking about playing some Famicom games on stream through the Switch Online stuff.
Yeah.
Remember the clue.
Lord. All right. All right. Look forward to that. I haven't done a stream in a while, so maybe I'll jump back into that.
Nor have I. I've been very, very bad. I've been too tired two of the weeks, and 1 week I went camping in the backyard with my kids.
Yeah, I did that recently too for a birthday party. So
because so many things have been canceled, they just want to do something, you know.
Yep,
I totally get
that.
I
hear you. Like a secret podcast.
Secret podcast.
Oh Lord. All right, I guess that's it for now. Thanks for listening to the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, which you should totally vote for in the Wisconsin Podcast Awards in the entertainment category. And until next time, the dojo is...
secret.
Not that secret.
Well, it must be. It must be a good secret, because otherwise more people would definitely be listening to us,
Woof.
Right? The reason for it is because we've kept it a secret. But you know what, guys?
It's our fault,
I'm going to tell you right now. You don't have to keep it secret anymore. You know what? The beta is over. The podcast, let's go gold on this one. Sean, I think it's finally time that we allow other people to hear about it. So all of those people who've been keeping the secret for us all these years, you can tell people now. You can tell people at Famicom Dojo. We give you permission.
I'm so glad we came to this decision.
I know. It's been a long time coming, but I you know what? Let's get it out there now. No more no more beta test. We're Famicom Dojo. You can tell a friend.
Alpha dogs.
It's no longer a secret. All right. Hey, some ASMR people are probably like, keep doing that thing.
Yeah, keep doing that. Yeah.
Keep doing that thing. No, I won't do that anymore. Secret podcast.
Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.